Before I start, everyone can hear me? I have one request. My mother is normally a regular here Sunday morning at the Midrash Yom Rishon, and when Rav Shor asked me to speak, I automatically said yes, checked with my schedule. I didn't check it with her schedule. And unfortunately, she's in California this Sunday. She's devastated. She's very angry at me. So when she comes back, just tell her I was okay. It all went fine. Okay? Thank you. We find ourselves at the junction right now from our freedom from Mitzrayim. We just read Parshat Bo this past Shabbos, where finally, after the 10th Makkah, Paro sends Bnei Yisrael out. And this coming week's Parsha, Parshat Bashalach, we're going to describe Bnei Yisrael's journey leaving Mitzrayim on the way to the Red Sea. In order to properly understand the historical and religious significant events of this redemption, let us take a step back and study together the events that led up to our salvation. Why does God decide to save Bnei Yisrael? This seems to be an overly simple question with a very clear answer. But let us see how the Torah itself describes these events. We're going to begin with source number one, going back to Perek Bet. We are told, after the many years of slavery, persecution, oppression, the killing of the baby Jewish boys, finally God takes note. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayishma Elokim et Nachatam, Vayiskar Elokim et Brito, et Abraham et Yitzchak et Yaakov. God hears the Jewish people's cries. He remembers the covenant he made with our patriarchs, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayar Elokim et Bnei Yisrael, Vayidat Elokim. God sees Bnei Yisrael, and he knows. Is that okay? Finally, God takes note. Up until this point, God was not even mentioned, not once in our story. Well, there's actually one time he was mentioned, but it's not really referring to God. It says that the mialdot, the midwife, feared God, which is why they didn't kill the baby Jewish boys. But tirena et Elokim does not really mean they feared God. Most times in Tanakh, when it says yirah plus Elokim, it means ethical consciousness. They just were moral people. They didn't want to kill babies. But God was not mentioned. He's not a character in the story. Not in the oppression, not in the slavery, nothing. Finally now, at the end of Perek Bet, God's here with these booming four verbs. We have Vayishma, Vayizkar, Vayar, Vayidah. Now God's on the scene. He's not yet active yet. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't saved them. He hasn't brought the Makom. But at least now, he's going to be a character from this point on to the rest of the Sefer. So while the first two prakim in Sefer Shemot has a very secular feel to them, it's an oppression and slavery of any people, by a king, by a tyrant, for political reasons. Finally now, with the end of Parak Bet and onward, now the story is going to have a religious tone. God is going to be the forefront of the story. What immediately follows God's remembering Bnei Yisrael is his appointing of Moshe by the Sneh. So we're going to look at source number two on the right-hand side of the box. In these psukim, we have Hakdashat Moshe, Moshe's initiation as a Navi. This is the first time he's speaking to God. As a delegate of God, he's become God's representative, and he's going to become the leader of the Jewish people. So I want to give an overview of what happens in these psukim. So God appears to Moshe by the Sneh. Moshe is intrigued by this burning bush that is not being consumed, right? The part which intrigues Moshe is that it's not being bo'er, it's not being consumed, not that it's on fire. Things go up in fire all the time in the desert. It's hot and sunny. So we're told, Vayomer Hashem, Ra'o Ra'itzi etzan, Ani Ani Asher B'Mitzrayim. I see the suffering of my nation in Mitzrayim. V'etza katam shamati mipnei nokshav, ki yadati emachovav. I hear the pain, their suffering. So he says to Pasuk Chet, Va'arei lahatzilo. I'm going to go down to save them. Mia Mitzrayim, u'haloso min ha'aretz, Ahi el Eretz Tovah l'Rechava, el Eretz Zavat Halav v'Dvash, Amakom HaKnani, V'Hachiti, V'Hamori, V'Hakrizi, V'Hachivi, V'Hayibusi. I'm going to take them out, I'm going to bring them to this good land of Eretz Israel, with all these other nations living there. All the nations we mentioned in the last year. It says in Pasuk Tet, again, I hear their pain, I hear their suffering, it's a little repetitive. Pasuk Yud, V'atah lecha ashecha el Paro. You, Moshe, I'm going to send you to Paro. V'hotzei et ani b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. You're going to take out the Jewish people from Egypt. Then begins a series of complaints and objections that Moshe has with God. Five times, Moshe's going to tell God why he can't go, why he doesn't want to go. And five times, God's going to tell Moshe why he has to go and try to refute each of Moshe's objections. So first Moshe says, Mi anochi ki lecha Paro, who am I to talk to Paro? V'chiyotzi et b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, and so you redeem b'nei Yisrael from Egypt. What's my self-worth? Or maybe he's asking more of a practical question. How do I actually go about doing this? I can't just go in and talk to Paro. God responds to him, Ki aya imach, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. V'zelecha, oh, he gives him the sign. Pasuk again, Moshe complains again. Vayomer Moshe el ha'elokim. Hine anochi ba'al b'nei Yisrael ve'amarti lahem elokei avoteichem shalchani ve'aleichem ve'amru li mashemo. Ma omar lahem. Very practical question. The Jewish people are going to say to me, what's God's name who sent you? How should I respond? Finally, after this question, God goes into depth. What's going to happen? How the actual story is going to unfold? Tells them what's helping Yisrael. And he tells them, tell B'nai Yisrael this mission about me freeing you from Yitzhak Mitzrayim, from Egypt. There's no problem with these psukim. It all seems to make a lot of sense by this net. It's not troubling, except for the fact that three more chapters, we seem to be having deja vu. In Parak Vav, beginning of Parsha Vayera, it begins with God telling Moshe his reason for saving B'nai Yisrael, and what follows seems to be another summoning of Moshe to be the leader of this mission. Look at Parak Vav. Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, I'm God, Ve'ira El Avraham, El Yitzhak, El Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, Veshmi Hashem, Lo Nodati Lahem. I revealed one name to the other, but I'm going to reveal myself in its entirety to you. V'gam ha'kimotzi et briti, itam matet lahem et eretz kanan, et eretz megorei masher garuba. I'm going to give the Jewish people their land. V'gam ha'nishamati en akap in Yisrael. I hear their cries, asher mishrayim ma'avdim otam, ve'azkor et briti. I hear their suffering. What we have before us is two times God is summoning and commanding, giving Moshe's mission to save in Israel. We have the revelation by Har Sinai, the Ma'amad Hasneh, and we have beginning of Parsha Vayera, which God repeats himself. If we line up these stories side by side, they're almost identical. In both stories, we have God revealing his divine name to Moshe. You compare Gimel, Yud Gimel, through Tet Vav, where he says, Vayomer Moshe, at the end of that, it's a Yud Dalet. Vayomer Elokim El Moshe, Ehaya Asher Ehaya, Vayomer Kol Tamar Levnei Yisrael, Ehaya Shachani Elechem, tell him this name of Ehaya, I am, that is who sent you. Vayomer Od Elokim El Moshe, Kol Tamar El Bnei Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shachani Elechem, Zeh Shemi Leolam, Zeh Zechri Lador, Lador, the door, door. Moshe is receiving God's name. God is revealing his names to Moshe. The same thing happens in Parak Vav. Look at Parak Vav, Pasuk Bet through Gimel, which we just read. Right? Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. I'm God. Vayra El Abraham, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, Vishmi Hashem, Lo Nodati Lahem. So in both times, God is coming and revealing his divine name. In both times, the Pesukim stress that God sees the natural suffering. Compare Parak Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, and Pasuk Tet. I see their suffering. I hear their cries. I know their pain. Same thing in Pasuk Tet. I see their pain. I see their being tortured. Same thing happens in Parak Vav, Pasuk Hey. V'gam ani shamati et nakat b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim ma'avdim otam v'azkor et briti. Same thing. In both times, God decides he's going to save B'nai Yisrael, the lashon of Hitzil, Hatzalah. So look at Parak Gimel Pasuk Chet. He says, V'arei lahatzilo, I'm going to go down to save the Jewish people. What happens in Parak Vav, Pasuk Vav? Lachein amor l'bnei Yisrael, go tell the Jewish people, Ani Hashem, v'hoseiti etchem mitachat tzevos Mitzrayim, v'hitzalti etchem mi'avodotam. Again, I'm going to go down, I'm going to save you, I'm going to take you out. In both times, God tells Moshe the end goal. The end goal is to take the Jewish people to the land of Israel. So in Parak Gimel, Pasuk Chet and Yitzayin, it says, El Eretz Tova Urchava, El Eretz Zavat Halab Utzvash, I'm bringing to the land of Israel. Again in Pasuk Yitzayin, the El Eretz HaKnani, HaChiti, HaEmori, HaPrizi, HaChivi, so on and so forth. El Eretz Zavat Halab Utzvash. So too in Parak Vav, we're told in Pasuk Dalet, El Etz And Eretz Canaan, eight Eretz Megorehem Asher Garuba. I'm going to take B'nai Yisrael to the land which I promised their forefathers. And again, in Pasuk Chet, Ve'aviti etchem al Eretz Asher Nasati Yadi Latet La'ota La'Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Ve'natati Ota Lachem Morasha Ani Hashem. Both times, he's telling them, we're going to bring them to the land of Israel. And both Pesukim, both Prakim, God is charging Moshe to be the leader of this mission. Parak Gimel Pasuk Yud, it says, I'm sending you to Paro. You take them out. So too in Parak Vav, Pasak Vav. You go tell B'nai Yisrael, I am God, and I will take them out. And in both times, I didn't give you these psukim because there have been too many psukim to bring on a sheet, but Moshe is reluctant in both of the times. And this Moshe's hesitancy is almost word for word, at least conceptually the same idea. In Parak Gimel, Pasuk Yud Alef, and then again in Parak Dalet, but specifically Parak Dalet, Pasuk Yud, he says, I can't go because ki kvad pe'u kvad lashonan achi. I have some sort of inability to speak. Either it means like Rashi, he had a stutter or a lisp, or just like, I don't know if I should say like the Rashbam says, maybe Moshe just was not eloquent to speak Egyptian. He's been gone for a number of years, so he didn't feel comfortable speaking in that language, that tongue anymore. But again, in Pasuk Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Bet, he says the same complaint to God. After he gets his mission again, he says, "Vani Arel Svatayim. If Paro won't listen to me, then certainly the Jews will listen to me. I can't speak well." So if God already commanded Moshe by the Sne, then why is God repeating himself now in Perek Vav? So I think to figure out simply one answer is to figure out what happens in between these two Hakdashot of Moshe, these two initiations. Perek Gimel was by the Sne. Perek Vav is the beginning of Parsha Vayera. Well, what comes in the middle? Parak Hay. So let's see what happens in Parak Hay. You're going to turn now your page to source number 13. Moshe goes to Paro, goes on his mission. Va'achar ba'u Moshe v'Aaron v'yomru al Paro ko amar Hashem elkei Yisrael shalach et ami v'yachol b'li b'amidbar. He tells Paro the script, send the name Israel out to conserve me in the desert. Paro asks the question, who's God? I don't know him. But finally, Paro says, Pasuk Vav. He tells B'nai Yisrael to go back to their work. And he says to Moshe and Aaron, why are you bothering with just people from doing all their work? That's in Pasuk Dalet. But in Pasuk Vav, Vayitzav Paro b'yom ahu et hanokshim ba'am et shoshav limor. Paro commands the officers, the Jewish officers, the non-Jewish officers, Lo ta'asvun la'teit tevem la'am levon ha'levainim k'tzmol shoshom hein yilchul v'koshishu lahem tevem. Don't give them the supplies that you gave them every other day for building the bricks, the straw. The straw was the binding agent. Vayvo shotrei b'nei Yisrael v'yitzaku el paro le'mor lama ta'asu kol avdecha. The shotrim, the Jewish officers, complained to Paro, why are you doing this to your nation? At the end of the parak, the Jewish officers, the shotrim, come to Moshe. Moshe and Aaron, you have made things worse for us. You've basically given the Egyptians a sword in their hands to kill us. Now things have gotten worse. You've come along. Not only have you not helped our situation, you have taken many steps backwards. Now we're being hurt more in Mitzrayim. And Moshe returns to God, Pasuk Chafet, Vayishav Moshe al Hashem Yomar Adonai, Lama Herodu La'am Hazeh, Lama Zeh Shachtani. Moshe makes 2 points to God. Why have you made it worse for the people? Number two, the physical redemption has not been advanced at all. In fact, we've gone backwards. There's been no point in this entire mission. So we can understand why in Parak Vav, God needs to give Moshe his mission again. Right? Why? Because Moshe just met with his first failure, his first major setback, so God has to come tell Moshe the mission is still on. Right? Even though it looks things are getting worse and things look very drear and very terrible, I promise you things will get better. Your job is to be the Moshiach of B'nai Yisrael. Go back to Paro and save B'nai Yisrael. I don't believe that this approach is the correct approach. I don't believe this repetition is just merely to teach us the mission as it is still on. But I think, though, is when one confronts repetition in the Torah, it's very important to examine them carefully, side by side, to look for the very important but small nuances that appear. From the similarities, you can often find the major differences. So let's try to compare Parak Gimel to Parak Vav. I don't think it's the same mission. Let's try to see how the differences that will emerge from these two prakim and try to put them together and create a theory. How has the mission changed? Moshe is getting a new mission in Parak Vav, and let's try to figure out what that new mission is. So we're going to look at all the differences now between Parak Gimel and Parak Vav by the Mara Hasna and his initiation again by Parsha Va'era. Let's look at all the verbs. We saw the verbs in the beginning when God appears on the scene. Right? There were four verbs that we saw. That's Vayishma, Vayizkor, Vayar, and Vayidah, right? He hears, he remembers, he sees, and he knows. Okay, let's look quickly in Parak Gimel to see which of these words appear. Well, already in Pasuk Zayin, the first Pasuk, I see three of these verbs. Right? God tells Moshe, I see the plight of Bnei Israel. I hear their suffering. I know their pain. What verb is missing? Zachar, to remember. If you skim, if you don't want to trust me, if you want to skim throughout Parak Gimel, it does not appear once. God does not tell Moshe, I remember anything in Parak Gimel. So when Moshe first gets his mission, it's because God hears, God sees, God knows their pain and suffering, but not because he remembers. In Parak Vav, though, we do have the word Ve'ezkor. Look at Pasuk Hey. V'gam ani shamati, so I also have the word to hear. Et na'akat b'nei Yisrael asher b'mitzrayim ma'adim otam Ve'ezkor et friti. I remember my covenant. In Parak Vav, Moshe's mission is not just about seeing the plight of Bnei Israel suffering, but why does God want to get involved? Because he remembers what? Brit Avot. He remembers his promise to the forefathers. So that's one major difference. Another difference. Look how in both Prakim describes Eretz Israel. How does God depict the land of Israel to Moshe in each of these missions? So in Parak Gimel, he says, this is Pasuk Chet, and then we're looking at Yud Zayin. But Pasuk Chet, he says, El Eretz HaTova, Urechava, El Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. So it describes Israel as what? A land flowing with milk and honey. It's a physical description of the land. And also it says, El Makom HaKnani, HaChiti, HaMori, HaPrizi, HaChivi, HaYibusi. It describes the inhabitants of the land. So we're given a physical description of what the land looks like and the inhabitants who live there. The same thing happens in Pasuk Zion. It describes inhabitants, and then this says again, El Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. It's just in the opposite order. So physical description of the land. I'm going to bring the Jews to a new land, a beautiful land, a vibrant land with other inhabitants, with a lot of resources. In Parak Vav, though, how does God describe the land of Israel? He says in Pasuk Dalet, El Eretz Kanan, Eitz Eretz Megurehem Asher Garuba. How is it being described? Not by the way it looks, not physical properties or who lives there, but who lived there in the past, who the land was promised to. Eretz Megurehem. Who's Megurehem? The Avot, the land where the Avot lived. Look now, Pasuchet. V'haveti etchem el eretz asher nasati et yadi latet otah le'Avraham, le'Yitzchak, le'Yaakov, v'natati otah lechem morashah ani Hashem. This is the land your fathers lived. It's your inheritance. It's your dwelling. I'm returning you to this land. So it's not described by physical attributes. Rather, it's described as our homeland, our religiously significant land that was promised to our forefathers, which we are going to inhabit, continuing their legacy. A third difference. Who's supposed to be doing the action in each parak? Who's being charged? Who's going to have the brunt of the responsibility on their shoulders? Well, in Parak Gimel, it seems to be Moshe. Look at Pasuk Yod. V'ata lecha eshlecha al paro. I'm sending you to Paro. The hotzei et ami b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. You, Moshe, free b'nei Yisrael. It's your job. You're going to go as my shaliach, my messenger, but responsibility is on your shoulders. The hotzei. You take them out. Look at the language found in Pasuk Vav. Lachein amor l'bnei Yisrael. You tell b'nei Yisrael the following. The hotzei ti. I'm going to take them out. God. Look at all the lashonos of Geula in Parak Vav. V'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti, v'heveti. I'm going to do it all. Not you, Moshe. You're taking a side role compared to what I'm doing. And I think therefore you can argue and say that in Parak Gimel, since Moshe has the dominant role, how is the action of Tziyah supposed to happen? Through political negotiations. Moshe is supposed to go to Paro, speak to Paro, get him to free the Jewish nation. Parak Vav, though, it's not about Moshe speaking to Paro. Those aren't the main players. In Parak Vav, the main players are God and Bnei Israel. He says in Pasuk Zayin, V'yadata ki ani Hashem alchecham ha-motzi etcham eretz ketachas lezot Mitzrayim. And he said earlier, V'hayiti lachem le'elokim. I'm going to be your God, etchem li la'am. You're going to be my nation. The story is about God, through miracles and wonders, taking Bnei Israel out, making Bnei Israel his nation. The dominant name for God in Parak Vav is Yudkei Vavkei, God's personal name, our way of referring to God as a Jewish people. In Parak Gimel, yes, Yudkei Vavkei appears, but the dominant name, at least in the beginning, why the vision of the Sneh was Elohim. Elohim is a more universal name for God, right? The God of the world. So So try putting all these differences together. I think what emerges is these two separate missions and two separate ways the Gula would two separate reasons why God wants to redeem the Jewish people. In Parak Gimel, it's a universal story. It's a moral reason. God wants to end oppression. So Moshe is this leader, this advocate for this oppressed nation, who's going to try to save them, speak to Paro, and have him end slavery. But Parak Vav is not a universal story. It's a very personal story. It's about Am Yisrael, our personal, our historical and religious connection with God. It's God fulfilling his promise, the Avot, making us his nation. That's why he's taking us out of Mitzrayim. So we have before us these two reasons for Gulat Mitzrayim. One is a moral reason. God doesn't want to see us suffer, anyone suffer, so he wants to take us out. Second reason is God wants us to become his nation, and he wants to fulfill the promise he made to our Avot. I think to prove that, it's just to give maybe a textual support, that you can say that when you have these two stories that have different perspectives, it's very similar to what we do in Bereishit, Parag Aleph, and Parag Bet. We have two accounts of creation of man, so you could say there, it's not that God created man twice, but there's two different perspectives of that creation. But I think proof for our theory will be looking at Pesukim throughout Torah, throughout the Chamesh Lachim Shei Torah, to see how God wants us to remember our redemption from Mitzrayim. Many, many times in the Torah, God repeats, do X, Y, and Z, do this, because I took you out of Mitzrayim. Look what he tells us in sources 4 and 5. Well, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all Pesukim that are about remembering our redemption. Source number 4 says, the ger lo tona, the lo tzelachetzenu, ki gerim hayitzen be'aretz Mitzrayim. Don't abuse, don't hurt a ger, a convert. Why? Because you were gerim in Mitzrayim, you were strangers there. So what's the reason why God took us out of Mitzrayim? What's the reason why we should remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim? That we should be ethical, sensitive, nice to other people. Same thing in source number 5, Vayikra Parak Yotzeh. Kezrach miken yelachem, hager hagar yitzchem, v'hasa lo kemocha. You have to love the ger. Why? Love the ger. This is a universal story. We were oppressed, we were abused, God saves us, so therefore, I must be nice and save others. It reminds me of when I was, I think 2 years ago, Oprah had a whole special on Auschwitz during one of its years of commemoration. She went to Auschwitz with Elie Wiesel. And she asked Elie Wiesel, why is it that you're so passionate about social causes throughout the world, like Darfur, things going on in the Sudan? Why are you so passionate about this? And he said, since I suffered, I cannot allow others to suffer. That's the reason the Torah is giving us here. We suffered, we were abused, we have to make sure that doesn't happen, that we don't treat others like that. It's, you know, it's almost contrary to what real psychology says about people. Like people who were, God forbid, abused as children, they often become abusers. That's what we don't want to happen. We don't want to even be thinking back, oh, since I was abused in Mitzrayim, therefore I can continue to act like an abuser, as many people do in society, which is terrible. But our job is to look at these things and therefore say, I won't become an attacker. I won't become morally unethical. So this is the universal message. But then you look at sources 6 and 7, that's not a universal message at all. Here it says, Anochi Hashem Elkecha, Asher hoteticha me'aretz Mitzrayim, mibet avadim. I am God to get a Mitzrayim, the house of bondage, of slavery. Lo yelecha elokim acher malpanai. Don't serve any other gods. Since I took you out, you have become my nation. You're my people, and you have to serve me appropriately. You have to believe in God exclusively. These are the personal stories of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. God making us his nation and our halachic responsibilities as a result of our redemption. Source number 7 as well. Ki ani Hashem ha-ma'ala etzcha me'aretz Mitzrayim, yot lachem lo'kim, ha'yitzen kedoshim ki kadosh ani. You have to be holy. You have to be religious. You have to be like me, God, because I took you out of Egypt. We're married. We're in this together. Since I took you out, you're my nation. So while we have these two important goals for our redemption, the moral, the ethical story, and the religious and the national story, Ramban favors one over the other. Look at source number 8. In his introduction to Sefer Shemos, he writes, "Hine ha'galut enu neshlam ad yom shuvam al mekomam ve'amalat avotam yashuvu. K'sheyatzu mitzrayim, af al pi sheyatzu mibeit avadim, adayin yechshuvu golim." The redemption of Yitzhak Mitzrayim was not just physical. Once we left Egypt, we were not considered nigal. We were not considered redeemed until, why? This explains why. We were in a land which is not ours. We were wandering in the desert. Nivuchim b'amidbar, right? Wandering, scattered in the desert. Kishevau el Har Sinai v'astu ha'mishkan v'shava kadosh baruch hu. When we went to Har Sinai and we got the Torah, we made the Mishkan v'shava kadosh baruch hu, and God returned to us. V'ashrash kinato b'neim, and God dwelled within us. As shavu el ma'alat avotam, they returned to the level of our forefathers. Here we have a little Kabbalistic, and the Avod are the Merkava, this chariot of God. Then we're considered redeemed. That's why the Sefer ends with the building of the Mishkan and God dwell within it. But for Ramban, which story does he obviously emphasize more? The spiritual story, the personal story, where we become God's nation, the spiritual redemption. Not just we should be nice to people because we were redeemed and we left Egypt and we became free men, but we left Egypt to become God's nation. That's the focal point of the Sefer, and that's why the Sefer ends with the Mishkan and God's glory returning to the Jewish people. But why doesn't Moshe get these two missions at once? If they're both valid and they both occur, why isn't Moshe in the Perek Gimel by the Sneh be told that there's two missions involved? There's the moral, ethical mission, and then there's the religious mission. Why are they separated by a few prakim? So again, to find our answer, let's look this time closely at all the stories that happen in between. We'll be looking at two stories in particular. The end of Perek Dalet is the Chatan Zanim story, and then we're going to be looking at Perek He, one we read very briefly earlier. What happens to Moshe on his way down to Mitzrayim? We have this very weird story, the Malon story, where Moshe is on his way down to Mitzrayim and he stops at a hotel. So let's look at Perek Dalet. Let's go back a little bit earlier. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. By Omer Hashem Moshe. V'lachtecha l'shuv Mitzrayima, re'e kol ha'motzim asher stamti bi'adacha v'asitem lifnei paro, v'ani echazek et libo, v'lo yishlach et ha'am. Hashem tells Moshe on his way down to Mitzrayim, you're going to perform all these miracles before Paro, but it's not really going to work. I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to let Bnei Yisrael go. V'amar ta'al Paro, ko amar Hashem, b'ni b'chor Yisrael. Tell Paro, b'ni Yisrael are my firstborn children, my firstborn sons. V'amar elacha shalachat b'ni v'yadeni v'atima'im l'shalchol, hinei anofi horeg et b'ncha b'chorecha. And you're going to tell Paro, if you don't free God's firstborn children, then God's going to come and kill your firstborn child, which is what we just read, Makkah Bachor, this past Shabbos. So now we're told the very strange episode. He's on his way, he goes to the hotel. God captures him, God approaches him. God seeks to kill him. Tipora takes a stone and gives her son a brit milah. And she says, Chatan Zanim Atali, and we're told, Bayarek Mimenu Az Amra Chatan Zanim Mamolet. Then somehow he, whatever it was trying to kill, whoever was trying to kill, let's go with him. And Tzipor says again, Chatan Zanim. These psukim are purposely written very vague. Who's God trying to kill? It says, By Vakesh Hamito. Well, who's God trying to kill? Well, does it say in the Pasuk? It doesn't say in the Pasuk. Right, there's no subject. There's no object here of Vayifashehu Hashem. You could say Vayibadarach Malon is referring to the whole family, or Moshe in particular. So Rashi assumes it's Moshe. God was trying to kill Moshe. Well, that makes a lot of sense. God disappointed him to be the leader, and now God's trying to kill him. Right? Doesn't really work. Why would God be trying to kill the leader he disappointed moments later? Not only that, he pulled Moshe's arms. He yelled at him back and forth 5 times to convince him. Now he's just going to kill him? So Rashi says that the Malach was trying to kill Moshe. Rashi gives 2 reasons as to why Moshe was the one being in danger. So the first answer is Shalom Mal Eliezer Beno. He did give his youngest son a brit milah. Although in the Pesukim, Eliezer is not even mentioned yet. He's not even mentioned until later on. Because he was lazy, he just didn't do it, he was punished. So the first opinion Rashi gives is Moshe doesn't want to give his son a brit milah. Just doesn't want to do it. The second opinion is bothered by this opinion and says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Chas v'shalom lo nisrashel. No, don't say Moshe was lazy, he just didn't feel like doing it. Ella Amar, emol v'etzei l'darach. Rather, Moshe said, if I give my son Mila and I go on the way, son cannot feel as he know. It's dangerous for the baby to be traveling within 3 days of the Brit Milah. So what did Moshe do? He decided, emol v'esholshayami. I'm going to give my son a Brit Milah, and then I'll wait here at the hotel for 3 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzivani lechel shem Mitzrayim. With name Manenash, so why is Moshe being punished? If he's totally conflicted, he has God's command on one hand, Brit Milah on the other hand, and Moshe has this nice compromise, I'll get the Brit Milah, but then I'll wait 3 days. Why does God punish him? The fish in its asak, the melotzufila. Because he was unpacking his bags, he was fluffing his pillows first, that's why God punishes him. He was dealing with the hotel business before he started giving his son a Brit Milah. So both opinions agree, Moshe was the one who was going to be hurt. The only difference between the two opinions Rashi quotes is one opinion. The second opinion is lo meid zechut for Moshe. It tries to find at least the benefit of the doubt. We try to make Moshe look better. But both agree Moshe was the one who was going to be killed. Not all Mefarshim read it this way. The Ibn Ezra, for example, and the Rasag, who I didn't quote, they think it was not Moshe being hurt. God was not trying to kill Moshe. So if you look at Ibn Ezra, source number 11, where Rav Shmuel ben Chafni Omer, he's quoting Rav Shmuel ben Chafni, Chalila liyo Hashem vakesh lahamit Moshe. God forbid was God trying to kill Moshe. Shalef b'shikutel lo tse amo. He is the one who's going to redeem and save God's nation. But what did God want to do? Rak b'kesh lahamit Eliezer. God just wanted to kill his son. V'hus siman v'kashehu gav hamito. God was just trying to kill the baby. The question we have to ask ourselves is, why doesn't Moshe give his son a Brit Milah? So Rashi, in second answer, was trying to be Lomid Zachut. Yeah, he was going to, but things got in the way and he pushed it off. But I think we could perhaps, in light of events that happened earlier to the story, I think we can come to a different answer. Who is Moshe? What's his identity? Well, in Parak Gimel, we have describing Moshe's birth and his childhood. Moshe has a very confusing identity. On one hand, he's born in Ivri, but he's raised by Bad Paro and Mitzri. He's returned, before he's even raised by Bad Paro, he's returned to his Jewish household. He lives there for until he's maybe 3 years old. Then he lives with Bad Paro for a number of years. We're not sure how old he is. We're told by Yigdal Moshe, he becomes older, he's mature. An adult. Ramban says when he becomes an adult, that's when he finds out he's Jewish. So what does Moshe do when he finds out he's Jewish? He wants to go see who are these Jews that he's related to. So the Pesukim describe in Parak Bet, source number 12, that Moshe goes out to see his brethren. On the first day Moshe, I didn't give you these Pesukim, on the first day Moshe sees a non-Jew beating a Jew. What does Moshe do? He kills the Jew. He stands up for his newfound people. He attaches himself to his brothers, the Ivrim, the Jews. The second day Moshe again tries to be part of the Jewish people. This is now source number 12. He sees two Jews fighting. He tries to mitigate. He says to the bad one, why are you hitting your friend? He responds to him, the Jew he just yelled at. Who made you our boss? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian the day before? Moshe realizes that his act the day before of killing the Egyptian is known. Paro hears about what Moshe did. Paro wants to kill Moshe. So Moshe tries to ally himself with the Jewish people. Do they accept him? They yell at him. Who even told on him that Moshe killed the non-Jew? It's possible to say maybe it was these Jews. Right? The Pesukim earlier said that Moshe looked around. There was no one there. There were no witnesses. That's why he killed the Mitzri. But now, the people he's trying to identify with, his brothers, are turning him in. They yell at him. They perhaps even rat on him. And then Paro, the man who grew up in his house, what does Paro want to do to him? Wants to kill him. Moshe grew up in these two worlds. He was part Ivri, he was part Mitzri. Now he feels alienated and rejected by both worlds. He's not Ivri, and he's not Mitzri. When he goes to Midian, very interesting, the Benot Ruel, how do they refer to Moshe? Ish Mitzri. He doesn't look like an Ivri. Who is he? Moshe himself is very conflicted as his identity. For the last 60 years living in Midian, Moshe has basically given up. He doesn't know who he is. He started a new life with a new wife, a new family living in Midian. He separated himself from that old life being Mitzri or being Ivri. Moshe finally at Paragim gets a wake-up call by the Sneh. God tells him he can't ignore the plight of Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim. He can't ignore their suffering. He has to go down and save them. But to Moshe, this is just saving any oppressed nation. It's not particularly his nation yet. He doesn't feel he's part of them. And Moshe's task to save Bnei Israel does not automatically translate into a renewal of his own identification with the Jewish people. Does he feel he can save them as an outsider? Yeah. If I'm passionate about what's going on in Darfur, can I go and raise money for people in Darfur even though I am not from Darfur? I can do it. But the moral reason does not translate into a newfound sense of self. He does not identify with Bnei Israel yet. He's going to be the outsider to go in and save them. Through this Malon story, God is trying to show Moshe, you can't do that. You can't save Bnei Israel as an outsider. You yourself have to feel personally part of Am Yisrael. And the message, I think, is very subtle. Earlier, right before the Malon story, God tells Moshe, tell Paro what? If you don't free Bnei Israel are what? What does Hashem tell Moshe? Bnei Israel are my Bnei Bechori. If you don't free my firstborn children, what am I going to do to you, Paro? I'm going to kill your firstborn child. When Moshe asks Yitro earlier for permission to go down to Mitzrayim, Moshe says to Yitro, let me go down to see my Achai. Let me go down to see my brothers living in Mitzrayim. But that's not enough of a connection. You can't just say that you're brothers. You don't feel that personally invested for save a brother. Sorry, Daniel. No, I would. But my brother's upstairs. But God's telling Moshe through the Malon story, how would you feel if it was your children in Mitzrayim? Moshe, you can't go as an outsider. You have to feel what I'm going through, what God's going through, which is why I think we're going to take the approach of the Ibn Ezra. Who is being threatened? Eliezer, Moshe's son. In fact, some approaches, the Chizkuni quote that Nehu is Gershom, Moshe's firstborn son. That would work even better. How would you feel, Moshe, if your firstborn son is being threatened? That's how I want you to feel on your mission. You can't just go as an outsider caring about the plight of any oppressed nation. You have to view Bnei Israel as your Ben Bechor, as your firstborn child. So God's message to Moshe is, how do you feel when your firstborn is being threatened? You feel scared, you're going to do anything to help that person? That's how I want you to approach your mission in Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim. What we see is that Moshe starts to change as he goes down to Mitzrayim. In Perek Hay, when Moshe confronts Paro and he's met with his first failure where things get worse for Bnei Israel again attack him. Just as they did in Perek Bet. And if you compare the attacks in Perek Bet and Perek Hay, they're very similar. Look what the Jews say to Moshe at the end of Perek Hay, after their workload has gotten worse, but they have the same quota. They say to Moshe, Vayomer Aleichem, Yerei Hashem Aleichem, Vayishpot Asher Hivashem et Rechenu Enei Paro. Use the lesson up, show faith. God should judge you. What do the Jews say in Perek Bet? Look back to Perek Bet. Oh, okay, here it says in Pasuk Yedalet, Misan Pali'ish, Sar V'Shofet, who made you our judge? And now they say to Moshe, God's going to judge you. A little bit of play on word. The Jews continue, they say to him that God should judge you between us. You have basically given the Egyptians a sword in their hands to kill us, right? The lesson of Harigah, to kill. What do the Jews say to Moshe and Perek Bet? It says, I have it on the wrong parak. Here, parak, source number 12. He says, Nisam Chalit Yishtar V'Shofet Aleinu Halahargeni Ata Omer. Are you going to kill me? Same lesson of Hariga. Moshe is being attacked again by a Jew. But how does Moshe respond in parak? Does he run away to Midian? Does he recoil? Does he feel like he's being abandoned and rejected again? What does he do? In parak, we're told by Yishav Moshe El Hashem. This time Moshe returns to God and defends Bnei Israel. Doesn't run away, doesn't seclude himself, doesn't feel he's being rejected. But this time he defends and approaches and beseeches God to have compassion on Bnei Israel. This is thoroughly foreshadowing Moshe's role as being our defender. The Jews attack him, what does Moshe do? Defends us to God. This is Moshe who feels part of Am Yisrael now. He's going to defend them. So therefore, since now Moshe is aligning himself with Bnei Israel, he's not running away, he's not becoming a recluse again, but since he feels part of Bnei Israel, now he's ready to get the second mission. The second mission of the historical national perspective. He's ready to receive a second Hakdashah. a redemption which sets us apart from the rest of the world. Now he is no longer a leader with a moral responsibility, or just only the moral responsibility of saving a downtrodden people, but now he has the national duty of bringing about the fulfillment of Brit Avot. I think this comes to explain another beautiful part, or weird part, in the story when you're reading it, just when you're reading the Parshiot. Perek Vav, right after Moshe gets his second mission, we're told in the middle about Yichus, genealogies. We're told in Perek Vav, Pasuk Gedalet, Eila Roshe Beit Avotam, B'nei Ruvain, Be'chor Yisrael. It starts listing to us the children of B'nei Yisrael, all of Yaakov's descendants living in Mitzrayim. As Rashi notes, it's not a full genealogy here. We start with Ruvain, we go to Shimon, and then we stop by Levi. We give the full account of Levi's family in depth. Why? Because the point is to figure out Moshe's Yichus. I don't care about B'nai Yisrael's Yichus, I care about Moshe's Yichus. That still should bother me. I'm in the middle of a narrative. Moshe's in the middle going to Paro. And now I have Moshe's family tree. It ruins the whole flow. I'm building up to something, and then cut and paste in the middle is Moshe's family tree. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't read well. But I think a lot of what we're saying makes a lot of sense. Moshe's Yichus is now important to Moshe. That's why he can accomplish the second goal. He's no longer the outsider who's viewing himself as saving an oppressed nation. But now Moshe feels his Yichus is important to who he is. You're right. I'm part of Zera Yaakov. I am bound with this nation. My genealogy and who I am is fundamental to who I am. That's why I'm saving Klal Yisrael. That's why I want to bring them to the state of being redeemed and being one with God. Because I realize why I'm going part of this story. So I think to summarize, we can come to the conclusion that Moshe really has these two distinct roles. On one hand, he's the political leader of the Jewish people. He's their moral advocate. On the other hand, he's the messenger of God. He represents God to B'nai Yisrael and also to Paro. Therefore, Moshe's battle with God, I think, was also waged on two fronts. On one hand, they're arguing about the political sovereignty of B'nai Yisrael, the universal issue about slavery. Who has the right to own slaves? Paro freed this nation. But yet, on the other hand, the issue is about who controlled the fate of B'nai Yisrael. It's a religious war. In Sefer Yechezkel, read the Haftorah, I think, 2 weeks ago, or last week, it says in Yechezkel that Paro considered himself a god. He believed that he made the Nile and that he was a deity. And the point of the Makud, our negotiations with Paro, was to show Paro, you're not a god and you don't control the fate of B'nai Yisrael. They're God's nation, they're God's people. So in conclusion, I think we can walk away with maybe two lessons from the way the Torah account describes our Geula. On one hand, we have to make sure we feel that Jews have responsibility to care about others. We cannot be an insular community ignoring the suffering of the world. Right? That was Perek Gimel. We have to care about others who are being tortured and being suffering wherever they live in our day and age, and that does exist. But we also have to realize that our community is our community. We must feel deeply connected to and unify with fellow Jews. You know, very often we want to help, let's say, people living in Eretz Yisrael. We kind of view it as, okay, I'll send a check to people living in Eretz Yisrael. We have to view them as, these are our brothers, our sisters, not brothers and sisters, but really our sons and daughters. We have to feel completely connected to Am Yisrael to realize that they are our future. We are in this together. So I want to thank you all and have a wonderful week. Oh. I think it's already late, so if anyone has questions, they can come ask me personally. Is that okay?